Welcome back to The Mountains and the Sea, where we find the highs and lows of each and every Prince album and much more every other week. I'm Christy.
I'm Josh, and this is one of those other weeks.
That's right. So much more.
That's right. And every other. Like last week, we didn't do this. This week, we are doing this. I see a pattern.
It's almost like we release on a schedule that you can predict most of the time.
Usually, yes.
Sometimes we have to take a little break.
Life circumstances.
That's right.
Today's life circumstances gives us our first toe in the water of outtakes from Diamonds and Pearls Deluxe Edition.
That's right.
With the exception of the first track that we'll cover, which is not an outtake.
No.
Just to make it confusing.
Yeah. Just like we make selections every episode, but not every episode, like today. There will be no selections.
No, we're not making any.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It's not fair to like make selections out of six songs if they're part of a larger group.
Sure.
It's not the right thing to do, and I refuse to do it.
Oh, okay. Then we won't.
Great.
I agree. Disc 3 of Super Deluxe.
Yeah.
Diamonds and Pearls.
And part 11 of our Diamonds and Pearls Super Deluxe Edition.
I'm so glad you keep track of that.
Well, only because I name my notes like file names. Oh. Part 1, part 2, part 3, because sometimes I go back to see what kind of stupid stuff I said in the last episode, and it's good to have them ordered numerically. Mm-hmm. It's part of the many lessons I learned making this podcast with you, dear.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm glad you've learned some lessons in the over 6 years we've been making the show now.
Ooh.
This is one of my favorite birthday gifts ever.
Oh, well, you did ask for it.
The face that Josh makes is like, you asked for it. I don't know why.
No, it was not my idea. I did not bring this to you.
No, I said,
you brought
Josh
it to
has
me.
All this Prince knowledge, and wouldn't it be fun to hear about all of it and share it with the world?
And the world is definitely listening, Christy. The world.
Well, people all over the world are listening.
That is very true. That is very true.
So, wherever you're from.
In the world.
In the world, we appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to us. I'm going to say that up front. I normally say that right at the end.
You do.
I'm
going
to say it here at the front.
How are we going to end this thing without selections and no thank you? Just going to be a click and a dial tone.
Yeah. So shall we talk about the non-outtake?
I think we should start
song?
There. The one B-side that was not named Horny Pony.
That's right. And
or Diamonds and Pearls.
It was on disc 2
Correct.
Of Diamonds and Pearls Super Deluxe.
Correct.
Everything else on disc 2 and a whole bunch of other stuff that wasn't on disc 2 but was part of the original Diamonds and Pearls era releases.
True.
We have talked about.
We have. The things we're not covering are edits and DJ fades.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No, that's fine.
So this was sort of the one, like, I don't know, nice to have item to me.
Sure.
On disc 2.
Yeah.
If they weren't going to be arsed to include all of the Get Off maxi single or most of the Cream maxi single. At least we got Call the Law.
That's right. The B-side to Money Don't Matter Tonight. And it was included on the new Power Generation album, Gold N, in 1993.
Gold N being our nomenclature, not
That's
the actual
right.
name of the album. N is short for something.
Yes, that we as white people are not allowed to say.
No.
Which is fine. We have actually mentioned it before in this series because it closed out during the credits the Prince takeover of the Arsenio Hall show that happened in September of 1991. We have talked about that set of performances, that appearance where Prince didn't do any interview time. All he did was performances, but Arsenio Hall and Patti LaBelle had some little like dialogue and fun things happening.
Yeah.
And Call the Law was the thing that
they played sang. The show out.
Yeah, that's how.
Minus Prince, he was not.
No,
on
he wasn't
stage.
There.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
He takes over and leaves it to his band and lets Tony M does his thing.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, don't panic. It's only a siren in the song. Step to the mic, huh? Not yet.
Step to the mic, huh? Oh, it's not real.
You're not being pulled over.
Thank you for my notoriously nefarious behavior. Anytime I hear a siren, I do get worried.
Well, that's a trouble because we live very near a fire station. We hear a lot of sirens.
We do. So this take, the B-side, is the only place where there's the introductory word that leads the song off of yes.
Yeah.
When it was released on the NPG's album, yes was cut out. It was a solid no for that ending up on the album release.
Okay. No, we will not include yes.
It's not a thing. It's not happening.
Good to know.
This is a full NPG Diamonds and Pearls era band performance.
Mm-hmm.
Has a very live feel to it. The full band. All the cast of characters that you've come to love from Diamonds and Pearls. The entire band that was on Arsenio Hall that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Plays on this track. Plays or sings or both.
Yep. That's awesome. Very fun.
I know what you were thinking, Christy, when you heard Call the Law. You thought, is this the same or related to MC Zappa's 2021 single, Call the Law? Or perhaps Outkast's Call the Law from their 2008 album, Idlewild, which featured Janelle Monáe?
Oh,
no.
No. Oh, okay.
No, neither.
Neither related to this particular track?
Not even the slightest bit.
Other than the fact that they share a title.
A title and that Janelle Monáe had connections to Prince.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did appreciate this nice, relaxed Tony M delivery.
Okay.
He's not shouting at us. It's very nice.
Yeah, even kind of a laid, but even though it's a rap track, clearly, it is a live band sound, mm-hmm. like a live studio feel.
Right.
I guess you could hear. But then, like, there are edits put on top of it, scratches and mm-hmm. some effects and that kind of stuff, but they aren't, it's not like overdone.
Yeah.
Which I give them credit for.
Yeah. So, Call the Law. Blessed, this blessed gift, I have to bring it right. So let me dive right in. Where do I begin? Well, let me call the law. I'm trying to understand this track because I always just kind of assumed it was like call 911.
Mm-hmm.
Like involve the police.
Yeah.
And that was always my assumption. And in 1991, that probably would have been my inclination if something were going on. But now I think the situation would need to be pretty serious for me to call the law.
Okay.
And so is it tongue in cheek? Is it?
I would say listen to the entire Gold N album.
Okay.
And it gets to whoever the lady was on the phone. There's a tall black man here with a do-rag, and he's about to throw a party.
So
send help now.
The original Karen.
The original Karen. I think there's a little bit of that here, because none of this is disruptive or causing trouble.
Right.
Maybe with the exception of a chandelier.
But that was inside.
Yes. Yeah. There's no outdoor chandeliers, I don't think. Not in Minneapolis. That'd be just silly.
No, we get weighed down with snow and fall.
Yes. Or crack because of the cold.
That's right.
Who knows what could go wrong? I do like a rap that is so cool and so laid back that Tony M spends the entire first verse leading up to where do I begin? And then going into the first chorus.
All of this is just a preamble to what I'm about to tell you.
Yes, it's like, let me set the stage. I've got a gift from God. And so I had to bring it to you, mm-hmm. give you a taste of my talent. But where could I possibly start? Here's the chorus. Call the law.
Step to the mic, I taste the hype. It's manifested, this blessed gift. I have to bring it right. So let me dive right in. Where do I begin? Let me call the law.
I think much like New Power Generation, the song from Graffiti Bridge, Rosie's vocal icing is really nice on here.
Yes.
And much needed. She doesn't appear much throughout the rest of the album the song would end up on. And we know from our coverage of the Symbol album years ago that we kind of felt like the NPG was missing like a strong female vocalist after Rosie left. So it is great that she's here to sort of counter and play off of the masculinity that is Tony and the rest of the band.
Sure. We get some really cool guitar. It's loud and insistent and ends in fast drums.
Yeah,
and it's a nice punctuation in between verses.
Yeah, or like after every chorus, there's this little guitar section, and it gets more and more intense after each chorus, right? It builds up and is really fun. And yeah, you're right. Definitely a Michael Bland drum fest here. Mm-hmm. Big, big drums.
Right. Like then at a minute and 10 seconds, we finally get the, I think I'm going to get a real answer. Call the law. Mm-hmm. They come around when everyone's having a ball. I'm like, okay, so the police are coming to like mess up a good time.
They come around when everyone's having a ball. And by the way, that reminds me of a party on Northside.
But then he doesn't say it overtly because he says kind of that's what's going to happen. But then he tells us about a party. He's like, he's like he got distracted. Like, yeah, they're going to come when we're having fun. Oh, let me tell you about the fun.
Well, the fun was like, yeah, you said an innocent street party gathering / fundraiser? I don't know.
I mean, they're having a party. They're selling drinks and spaghetti for $7 a plate. He's talking about how fiscally responsible it is.
Huh. It's and that's hilarious. Profitable. Right. I mean, spaghetti's cheap.
Yeah. You ever heard of a party being ready without a money making pound of spaghetti? Yeah, what you laughing at? I'm selling liquor for some plates at $7 a crack. And that's profitable.
The liquor is probably the most expensive part of it.
Yeah, but those are separate from the plates.
Well, it says I'm selling liquor plus some plates at $7 a crack. So
yeah, liquor. He's selling the liquor.
Liquor is $7, and the spaghetti plate is also seven bucks.
I think the spaghetti plate is $7.
Okay.
And the liquor is what's the actual moneymaker. Oh, I see.
That's it.
Like it's separate. You can go and just have your spaghetti plate.
Yeah.
They're making money on the spaghetti plate.
I see what you're saying. Okay. But it's not like you're going to walk up there and be like, Tony, could I just have water with my spaghetti?
Right. I mean, you could, and they'd probably provide that for, particularly for people who are underage. But that said, they don't have a liquor license.
That is true. Well, there you go.
That's what they're calling the law for.
Jeez. Yeah. So I'm not certain that Prince has any kind of vocal part on this song, even though Tony ends that fundraising liquor verse with Pick It Up, P.
Call the law, 'cause we're getting extreme. Pick it up, P. Call the law.
Maybe it's guitar, and he's like, pick it up, because when I hear pick it up, P, and I'm like, oh, is it Prince going, call the law, we're getting busy on. I don't think it is.
No, I mean, it could be, but I don't think so. I think it's the guitar, because the guitar starts right after that.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
I think Rosie's role on the song is a lot like her role on Get Off, her let a woman be a woman and a man be a man, where she's just doing call the law, you know, these callbacks.
Right.
kind of her spot in this song. And after that second chorus, more guitar solo and lots of hoes, mm-hmm. you know. It's kind of a fun, not that kind. Ho, sorry. Ho. I mean, I could see why you would call the law, but it's not that kind of thing.
No, it's just selling liquor without a license.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
After that break, at 2 minutes and 19 seconds, there's a bigger drum break there. And then back to the scene. Tony's going to take you back to continue the story, right?
Yeah.
The story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's moved to the basement.
Uh-huh.
And there are some synth horns at 2 minutes and 24 seconds that I forgot were in the song. It's kind of a din-a-din, little horn hit there.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the scene. Basement's packed, but if you're at the front door breaking backs, that's security insurance.
Which is pretty interesting. Like, you don't think of live horns and rap as, you know, this is kind of a neat mixture of live band, laid-back rap. You've got a Aretha Franklin type vocalist, guitar solos, DJ scratching, and also synths and or horn kind of effects.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very eclectic, but really works very well together, I think.
I agree.
He mentions Rock Creek Park.
And I had forgotten that completely. Two minutes and 35 seconds.
Yes.
Everybody's bumping to Rock Creek Park when...
Yeah, the party's jumping. Ho, everybody's bumping to Rock Creek Park when... Bonus girl got silly. Jumped on my sandal and got busy. Yeah.
That is a song by jazz funk fusion band The Blackbirds from 1975.
Yeah, it's another part of the 70s, 60s...
Yeah,
soul throwbacks and connections to Diamonds and Pearls that I still say, even though I've been saying it now for 11 episodes of this podcast, I think, that Diamonds and Pearls doesn't get like recognized for the connections to like glory days of, you know, R&B and soul, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Or R&B and soul in the age of disco, I guess you could almost say, because it's clearly not a disco reference. It's more of a black soul music reference. Yeah.
Yeah. After a shorter chorus, then it's followed up by even more guitar, and more insistent, the most yet. Tony encourages Prince, and then he's out. Out of there, he's gonna leave that last 45 seconds of song
to just Prince tearing it up
with a guitar that's kind of got like a harder edge to it at the end.
Even the guitar itself takes on the siren sound at 3 minutes and 40 seconds. It's just kind of going ham, you might say.
Is that in the spaghetti?
Ooh. That does not sound good. No. Can I make a few more comments about the last little verse, too, after the Rock Creek Park thing? We had just because we mentioned the chandelier up front, that's where someone named Bo and his girl got silly, jumped on my chandelier, and got busy. That's quite a party move by Bo and his girl, whose name doesn't get mentioned. There's also a reference to Hollywood Swingin', Kool and the Gang reference.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the bar, Hollywood Swingin' at the end of the bar.
When the background screaming,
here we go, here we go.
Yeah, the tempo's upbeat, Hollywood Swingin' at the end of the bar.
He began singing, If I Didn't Care, and Tony kind of gives some singing inclinations there.
Right.
And that's where I think this mention is on Prince Vault, where they say the song has a slight reference to the song If I Didn't Care from 1939 by the Ink Spots.
Okay.
He began singing If I Didn't Care.
So that is where that reference is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you said, Kick It P, Prince and the band, play it out. It gets frantic. Crazy drum and scratching ending. And I thought it kind of somehow went really well with Money Don't Matter Tonight. A nice pairing of an A and B side. to a degree.
Yeah.
Not that the songs are related, but they have a similar laid-back, live sort of feel.
Yes.
And that was a nice little single that is laying around the house somewhere. I thought about going to find it. I remember it very well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very fun.
I thought this is a great B-side, a nice little album track from an album that I can't wait to cover with you, since we refuse to say the full name of it. That will make for an interesting podcast episode.
Hey, if we can cover Sexy MF and not say the F word, then I think we can do it.
Okay.
I have confidence.
Confidence. In us. Great. So that's our one quick stop on disc two of Super Deluxe Edition. Outside of everything and more that we covered with the Get Off and Cream maxi singles, which were not comprehensively included in the Super Deluxe Edition of the album.
Cool.
On to the vault disc.
That's right. It starts off with Schoolyard.
7 minutes and 11 seconds of Schoolyard.
Which is entirely too much.
Wow.
I'm just going like, to start okay. off right there. We it's said too much.
We weren't making selections.
Christy. I'm not making a selection. I'm just saying.
You're just choosing your words. You're not making a selection.
That's right.
Okay.
7 minutes is too much Schoolyard.
Yeah.
It's got a very 80s holdover sound with those drums.
Yeah, well, late 80s, early 90s, I think, kind of has that, is it hip hop, like late 80s, early 90s hip hop ish kind of beat to
it. But it kind of doesn't. It sounds like pre-early 90s to me, like very much late 80s, that kind of drum sound that is here for much of it is it has a very 80s feel to me.
Yep, I agree. For sure. I mean, it sounds very dated to me, more so than anything on the album sounds, even though this song was slated to be part of the album for quite some time before more songs were recorded, and it didn't even make it as a B-side.
Nope.
This song was covered in depth on the official Prince podcast, particularly episode 2 of it, which was released on October 19th, 2023, leading up to the release of the Super Deluxe Edition of Diamonds and Pearls. Andrea Swenson interviewed the inspiration for the song.
Yes, Carrie.
Carrie Price.
Okay.
And it was a pleasant but somewhat uncomfortable interview by the time it got to the, I was going to say meat, but that's probably a poor choice of words. Yeah, where she says to Andrea, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not really happy about that, when she was played the song, which I'm not sure. It wasn't really clear if she'd ever heard it before.
Okay.
I would guess not. But she denied ever doing any of these things, particularly the drug use, smoking weed.
Yeah.
And also said, and Prince never did drugs either. But then she goes on to say, I don't know if he just wanted to embellish the story and make it more cool or more edgy.
Yeah.
But none of that ever happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I bet she's like, I wish he'd use somebody else's name or just not a real name.
Well, I mean, Carrie could have been a Stephen King character.
Okay.
I mean, a first name. Okay. And it was that long ago.
Right.
She was 2 years younger than Prince.
Okay.
And knew him through a friendship that she had with Prince's sister, Tyka, in elementary school.
Okay.
And that's how she came into Prince's circle, and says that they dated for about a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
When they were teenagers, and talked about braiding his hair 1 to 2 times a week, and that he would walk her home from school.
No.
And it was very sweet.
Uh-huh.
But she was not real pleased with the
song.
I don't think she's buying the Super Deluxe Edition and putting track 1, disc 3 on repeat. She's also the godmother to Morris Day's first child.
Oh, how
about that? Who I believe is a grown human now.
Yes.
So her duties as godmother have probably been served.
Yeah, other than, you know, this is a person that we... is a family friend whom we talk to fondly.
Exactly. At 17 minutes and 30 seconds in that episode when they first listened to and discussed the song.
Okay.
Carrie and Andrea.
So he starts singing, and I'm like, ooh, this is my favorite register of his singing voice. It's a little lower. It's not the falsetto. It's like, it's not trying to be the deep baritone, which he does well, but,
yeah. You
know, does almost sometimes sound a little strained for him. So this is close to his speaking voice. I really like it.
Oh, okay.
I was only 16 and the name was Carrie.
I didn't know that you felt that way.
Yeah.
Awesome. I never know what I love the most about Prince's voice because it does take many shapes
and
tones. So there are times that I'm like, oh, like the falsetto and pink cashmere is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And how it's paired with a guitar. And then this where it's almost spoken word and almost exclamatory throughout the whole song is also really effective. And he was very much into like his deep baritone voice and the end of like Graffiti Bridge, Diamonds and Pearls era for sure.
Yeah. So I really like
that. So you like his voice.
I do.
Is this your version of lighting to say that the lighting on the song is very good?
No.
Okay.
There are things that I like and things that I don't like.
I bet there are.
So I'm really glad that he made sure that he let us know that he was 16 before he said he wanted to marry that quote unquote little girl.
She was the number one the girl I wanted to marry me. She was only 14.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were both.
She was 14. Yeah. She was a little girl.
Yeah, well, in age, but she had the major body, not a major body.
The major body. And it made up for the fact that she was mean.
Me. She was only 14. But she had the major body. Yeah, this girl was mean.
I don't know that that's what he meant. Like me, like the girl, like she's bad, you know, like when a baby's kid's bad.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I kind of took it as like, she's mean, but her body kicks booty. Ooh,
I would be interested to see interpretations of others. Perhaps that's a social media survey.
That's right. Oh, yes. Do visit us on social media and let us know how you think that mean should be interpreted in schoolyard. Is it that her body is rocking or that she has a sour disposition that is made up for by her bodily charms? You can visit us on Facebook, The Mountains and the Sea, a Prince podcast. You can find us on Twitter at TMATS, TMATS podcast, or you can send us an email at tmatspodcast@gmail.com if you don't do social media.
So he goes on. He and his friend Ace pick Carrie up from school one day, and the typical, I do give Prince credit for painting the picture of them being just awkwardly young and having no idea what to say to one another. Uh-huh. Turn the music up and let your friend drive fast and, you know, it'll be okay.
Me and Ace picked Carrie up from school one day. We took a full ride in Ace's car. Music started to play.
Ace, you think Ace is Andre Simone?
That's what Andrea said in the podcast, the official podcast, that's who she assumed it would be.
But I couldn't find any confirmation of that one way or the other. So I went looking just a little bit just to see if I could find somebody named Ace related to Prince.
Okay, because Carrie said Prince didn't drive. She didn't drive. Nobody had a car.
Yeah.
They weren't like, middle class people.
Right.
Or 16 and having a car is probably not usual.
Right.
But what did you find?
Oh, I found that there is a Spider-Man villain named Ace Spencer that is almost certainly based on Prince.
Really?
Yes. He rides a motorcycle like the iconic one from Purple Rain.
Okay.
He has lovely flowing hair, wears sunglasses, sometimes wears purple, is a similar complexion to Prince. He first appeared in 1986 in the comic books.
That was going to be my next question, is when did this Ace character first appear?
And he doesn't appear often, but he is kind of one of those mystical sorts of villains that people like to see because he doesn't show up very often. And he's almost certainly based on Prince. And his name is Ace.
Interesting. And Prince had his own set of comic books made around this time also.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you have some of them.
I think I have two of them. Okay. Two of the three.
Okay.
I'll have to go digging those up.
Yeah.
But regardless, whether it was a nemesis, one of Spider-Man's many nemesis, maybe that's how Ace could drive so fast, as he could do a Spider-Man trick, like spinning a web onto a light pole to take a corner faster so that Carrie would fall into Prince's lap.
Oh, there you go.
Let's get back, see if Carrie can answer that question. Speaking of ethnic descriptions that maybe a couple of white married people in South Texas couldn't really say, but Prince describes Carrie that as a sister, meaning she was black, but her eyes made her look Japanese.
Carrie was a sister, but her eyes kind of made her look Japanese.
Her shortcut afro, shiny and soft, her clothes fit to please. Describes her hair, describes her clothing. She wore tight clothing.
Okay, so I get this is about a couple of teenagers, but it's a little weird to hear a man in his 30s sing about getting it on in the schoolyard.
I couldn't decide how much of my thoughts on this to mix in here or to save for the selections. But I also will say, like, up to this point, they got in a car and left the school. There's nothing going on in the schoolyard.
They went driving around and then went back to the school. Or maybe it's a different school.
They went to his house. They were in the car. But none of this seemed to happen.
They picked her up at school.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they went to a different school. This is
I don't know. He describes in detail some of the, you know, finer points of the relationship in action. But never do they say under the bleachers or behind the, I was like, it's not a playground, it's a schoolyard.
Right.
So like school property.
Yeah.
Essentially is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right. So I feel like this is the show of like, I'm not quite sure I understand what's happening here. I wasn't exactly sure what does it mean and call the law. Mainly because probably I didn't remember the segue that preceded call the law from the NPG album. So okay. Maybe that's why I didn't understand. But here, there's, like, I understand the words, but when you put them all together, I don't exactly understand what's happening. With a wink and a nod, we were off to Ace's pod. Okay, so there's a rhyme scheme there. I got that.
Yeah.
Ace's pod?
Oh, his house.
Oh, his house?
Oh, I think so, because...
But they're in the schoolyard.
They were hanging for the night. Oh, I thought that they were going back to his house.
Oh, okay.
We was hanging for the night.
Well, yeah, I thought they were in the schoolyard like after hours when all the teachers had gone home and they're in.
I don't know. For the song that has countless references to getting it on in the schoolyard, I'm trying to find out where did anything happen in the schoolyard?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I was confused. I'm like, right. What is Ace's pod? Does he have, like, the portable?
It's like, you know, nod pod, like peas in a pod.
Well, yes, and that's why I'm like, I get it, that there's, you know, like, peas... Who's hanging for a knife? Okay, peas in a pod.
Hanging
I
for
get
the
it.
Night is what I heard.
Oh.
He was hanging for the night.
Night. Oh, that makes so much more sense. Now that's another reason why I was confused. I'm like, because when I heard peas who are hanging for a knife, like they were ripe and ready to be harvested, I'm like, do you need a knife to harvest peas? I don't think you do.
No.
Okay, so they're hanging for the night.
That is how I heard it. There's also an apology of sorts here. Like, yes, he's a 30-year-old man recalling this thing that happened half of his lifetime ago. We never want it for the children of our own. We all pray better seeds we have sown, but one story that is most commonly known is getting it on in the schoolyard.
children of our own. We all pray better seeds we have sown. But one story that is most commonly known is getting it on in the schoolyard.
So no parent wants to know about, hear about, understand that they're...
Or have it happen for their child.
Yeah, you're always going to be my little baby.
And yet everybody has a memory of doing something they shouldn't be in a schoolyard with a person of you're interested in a more adult manner.
You said how this confused you. Mm-hmm. And my take on it was like, we were listening to music this morning and Moonbeam Levels from 1999 Super Deluxe Edition came on. And what struck me is that so many of the non-album tracks from 1999, from Purple Rain, from Sign of the Times, there's a level of maturity there. And now here he is aging. And I think even through Emancipation, there's a little switch that comes on in Prince's head that makes him less mature. Like there are more immature songs at this point in his life and probably for the next 4, 5, 6 years than early in his career.
Okay, I would say there were fewer influential women in his life during this time.
Okay.
Than I'll there support were
that too.
Earlier. Yeah. So like his early when he had bands, so maybe not when like For You and you know those early albums, but like when in the heyday of his career, there were women.
True.
Wendy, Lisa, Sheila E., Susanna, you know, these women in his life who kind of maybe tempered some of that. And, you know, we've said many times, this era is often a sausage fest.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of like dude energy going on.
Yeah.
And I think that is
sure
not something that lent to Prince having a very mature sound.
Yeah. He could have been doing this purposefully too. So
sure.
We don't know. But certainly this is even come to the rest of Diamonds and Pearls as an album, even compared to many of the other outtakes. This is like why? Especially when you have a vocal talent like Rosie Gaines, who I would say could have been and was like the only influential, like someone that Prince really admired and looked up to. How do you have her singing on a song like this and take it seriously? Maybe that's why most of her contributions are schoolyard, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to say anything else. Okay.
See, but I think that there was maybe, I don't know, I want to say like a disparity of power, like that he looked up to her, he looked up to Rosie, but he also kind of had more of a power position. Not that he wasn't in charge when it came to any of those other ladies from the 80s. But I don't know. It just seems like they're not going to take any of his guff. Rosie was a little more grateful. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on her emotional state or how much.
I also don't know that Prince would have sat down and said, Rosie, I want you to contribute to the song. Here's what it's about. Let me tell you the real story.
Yeah, he's telling her, I want you to sing Schoolyard.
Yeah, here's what you do here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do whatever you want with this part. But uh-huh.
He wasn't asking for her input.
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
Well, Tower of Power Squib Cakes must have made quite an impression on Prince because he name checks it here.
Aces girl showed up, that's when the party started jumping. Tower of Power Squib Cakes steady humping.
He sampled it and released it
yep.
before this and yep. Sleep Around after this.
Yep. For sure. This, I guess, is where I was like, is this really happening in a schoolyard? So there's music playing. There's a dance going on. There's smoking weed. Are you going to be able to do that on school property at night and not
I think that you're better off doing it at the... Well... schools weren't patrolled then like they are now. They don't have they didn't have fences all the way around them. Somebody had a boombox and an older brother.
Okay. This was the part that Carrie, real life Carrie, said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't appreciate that. First, let me smoke this weed. My cologne ain't saying S if this is what she needs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he sets that up really well, though. There's kind of some minor piano keys.
Yeah.
And then, like, sucking on a roach that really
Minutes and 19 seconds. There's some of that going on.
Yeah, that really sets the Carrie is high scene.
Wait a minute, first time you smoke this weed. I said, damn, my cologne ain't saying shit. But this is what she needs.
And I can see how, if that was not something that she engaged in, that she wouldn't necessarily want.
Yeah, especially when he gets down to, you know, I start taking off Carrie's pants.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's why I'm like, she is 14 and high. This does not scream consent to me.
Yeah. Different time, different place. Mm. I mean, schoolyard, home.
Somewhere.
You got me. Wait,
the place is unclear.
Yeah.
But Rosie's haze are fun.
Yeah, the 2 minutes and 43 seconds. Again, Rosie's like little vocal contributions. It seems like she's keeping an arm's distance away from the whole thing to me. And maybe that's just because of my own feelings about the song and the situation and the story. But she's not totally into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Right. Well, can you blame her? Because we're warned, but do we really have to be this graphic about a child? I guess I don't have a nasty heart.
And now, boys and girls, for the graphic part, close your ears if you ain't got a nasty heart.
This isn't for you. He disclaimed you out of this verse.
I guess so. We were warned, but I listened to it, and I'm like, I'm so glad this didn't end up on Diamonds and Pearls.
Oh, yeah. Compares her body and the act of intercourse to like having a glove filled with hot baby lotion, which is kind of weird anyway. But, I mean, I get that baby lotion has more than one use, but again, you're like a child,
uh-huh,
a young girl, a young woman, baby lotion,
mm-hmm,
pull it on tight. That's what Carrie was like.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I mean, at least he wasn't dishonest about his longevity.
His stamina. Sure.
Yeah.
One stroke and I was gone.
Again, just like unnecessary, but I don't know, something in Prince's mind was like, I want to share this story with the world and put it on an album. At least that was the original intent, right?
Right.
I
don't know. If somebody talked him out of it, I'd like to thank you.
I think that we were fortunate in the time that this was recorded was shortly after Graffiti Bridge was released and while he was starting to record new material. And Prince is a man of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was a boy of the moment, too, according to this song. But the closer he got to an album's release, the more inclined he was to include more recently recorded material.
Yeah. We're lucky that he recorded this early on.
I think
right after Graffiti Bridge.
I count myself lucky for that reason. Yes.
That's fair.
Yes.
There is some like synthesizer that happens in the left channel at 4 minutes and 40 seconds that I think is like a little vocal sample that gets played at different notes. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of silly and fun.
Yeah,
like I'm grasping at something too.
The lighting was good for the recording. Like 3 minutes and 54 seconds, there's some of Rosie scatting, mm-hmm, which is like her major contribution to this whole thing. And
right.
There's instrumental break at 4 minutes and 15 seconds with some Eric Lead saxophone that was, according to Prince Vault, recorded in 93.
Ugh.
Okay. So this song like got worked on even further after it was not included in Diamonds and Pearls. Hey, let me get my favorite sax player to come in and lay some sax down on top of this song about sex.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a little bit of a talk box on a guitar at 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
That's what I was talking about. Oh, it kind of sounded like a
guitar.
You think it's like a guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a little synthesizer.
I thought it was a little like the guitar talk from Daddy Pop.
Oh, okay.
That same sound and effect. Okay. There's a slowed down Prince's voice singing at 6 minutes and 25 seconds. When he sings, "We never want it for the children of our own." It's one of those like, "For the children of our own" is happening in the background. So, I mean, there was a lot of, again, like time and care and multiple layers of vocals and lots of instrumentation and two or three years of revisiting and pulling this back, you know, out of the vault and doing more work to it. I also kind of question why lead off with this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know in the booklet that came with the Super Deluxe Edition, it claims that, you know, this is considered the first album era outtake, but it's a rough one to lead off.
That's fair.
An unreleased collection with.
Yep. That's fair.
All right. Well, if you thought that that was too graphic and yet also immature and maybe uncomfortable, how about a schmaltzy ballad?
My Tender Heart.
My Tender Heart.
Rosie Gaines originally wrote this song as My Tender Love with her husband. Prince recorded basically a cover, but changed Love to Heart. It's unclear as to what exactly, how much of the lyrics he actually changed.
Yeah, Rosie's quoted in, again, the booklet, not booklet, the hardbound book that came with this collection, that Prince liked it and changed it and changed the story a little bit. But then, like, the version that Rosie would eventually release was also My Tender Heart. She didn't record it her way.
Right.
She recorded it Prince's way.
Right. Yes, in 1995, that ended up on her album Closer Than Close. So, and then there was a version with Prince and Rosie singing together, sort of Prince on background, but also sort of a duet. That was released in December of 2009 on her iTunes exclusive album, Concrete Jungle.
Yep.
And when I say iTunes exclusive album, it's really kind of a nice way of saying that she planned a physical release and couldn't pull that together.
Okay. Gotcha. Instrumentalists and like the band here is an interesting thing because, of course, it's Prince and Rosie Gaines and Michael Bland on drums, Levi Caesar Jr. on bass guitar, and Dr. Fink from The Revolution called back in to play keyboards. He's quoted in the book as saying, "Prince didn't need me. I felt honored to be included, but he's an incredible keyboard player. He doesn't need me, but called me to participate."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some orchestral strings along with a slow beat right at the beginning. Prince Vault didn't indicate it so, but it sounded like Claire Fisher strings to me.
Okay.
So I don't know for sure.
Yeah. I don't think I even noticed those there. I was full of schmaltz.
Yeah, well, it happens pretty quickly because you know right off the bat that this is a ballad.
Oh, yeah.
The schmaltz is coming even if you haven't heard a lyric yet.
Yep. I say that with the understanding and recognition that Prince's vocal delivery here, I think it was a really challenging song to sing. Mm-hmm. I think he worked hard at it.
Sure.
And you can certainly admire that.
And it's a ballad that's not a falsetto either. Which is,
yeah, I mean, it could.
It gets there in there, some, but, sure. But it's not throughout.
Yeah, well, it's not about seduction either, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, a little bit of a connection to Diamonds and Pearls, the line, "My tender heart, my tender love is all I have to give," at a minute and 20 seconds. My tender heart, my tender love. fits right into the All I Can Do Is Offer You My Love from mm-hmm. Diamonds and Pearls. So there's like some conceptual connection there also of someone who's obviously rich, famous, saying, all I have to give you is my love. Will you take that? Is that good enough for you?
Right.
In a couple songs in this collection.
We do get at a minute and 35 seconds a rare instance of singing sounding a little strained. It could be on purpose.
I bet it was.
I bet it probably was too. I go to the park.
Yep.
And that park is kind of strained. Okay. And it makes sense within the context. But also, yeah, it's still kind of rare to hear.
Yeah. But I think it was on purpose, like hurt by that memory, or he was remembering something that was important to him. And, mm-hmm. you know, she is no longer there.
I have a little bone to pick with whomever wrote this particular part of the lyrics.
Okay.
And I lie in the dark while you lied in your sleep. Oh, how you told me you would love no other than you called out his name in your every dream. Okay. She lied while she was awake.
Oh, the truth came out in the dream?
The truth came out in the dream.
Okay.
We know because the romantics told us that in Talking in Your Sleep.
Okay, that's right. I hear the secrets that you keep.
Uh-huh,
when exactly. When you're talking in your sleep.
Uh-huh.
I see what you're saying. Sure.
So she told the truth in her sleep, and she lied while she was awake.
Yeah, gotcha. 2 minutes and 55 seconds. The very thing I feared. I knew it was coming, that there would be a spoken part in this song. Hey, girl.
Baby. I can't do without you, girl. My mind's safe.
And this is probably something that Prince would have added himself, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because these spoken word things are the things he likes to add.
Well, he went through a period of it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It started around 1990 and went through the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Mid to late 90s. Yeah.
Baby, I can't do without you, girl. My mind says the show must go on, but my heart says, how can it when my baby's gone?
You're mad that she treated you poorly, and here you are opining that she's gone. I don't have a lot of patience for it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But then also, he's the one that walked out the door, left her. And so I had in my head the Diamonds and Pearls video as he's walking into the projection room here. I walked out the door, but no sooner that I got to the other side of the door, you know what? I wanted you back. Like, get me back in.
I'm like, I guess you need the drama for the song.
You do. And I think that's
think
part of the...
through?
And I keep saying schmaltzy, but yes, it's like this. It's a soap opera of a song. Right?
Right. But, and I'm like, wait, was she still asleep when she said his name or was it in the middle of sex?
Mm.
Because how did he get mad at her? Did he have to put on clothes?
Maybe he should have put on a glove.
Gross. Okay.
4 minutes and 6 seconds. There's some falsetto high notes mm-hmm. that Prince hits that are pretty amazing.
Yeah, very so, pretty vocalizing.
Literal high point there for mm-hmm. me of the
yes.
song.
Yeah, and then there's some kind of earnest pain vocals here at the end that for me are some of the most effective of the whole song.
Agree.
They tell you what the rest of the song literally tells you.
Yeah.
In a way that is more palatable or less.
It's also like inflected and not just spelled out for you. It's
right.
Like a very literal, also like the kind of, I don't know, trite songwriting of, I watch as the leaves turn from green to brown. Uh-huh. You know, like, okay, it's fall or there's change in the air or something right. is happening that you can't control. It is a very pretty falsetto ending.
Yeah.
Prince hits the word heart at like 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Throughout the history of this podcast, I've tried to be like, well, he didn't release this song, you know, don't be upset by it. We've got, and it is like, it's a nice piece to have here because it's cool. It's something he worked on with Rosie, kind of took it from her, made it his own, and then she took it back and did her own thing and supposed to be on her own Paisley Park album that never really materialized. So it's got a like a neat place in Prince history, but then I don't know. Sometimes in business, you like go after RFPs, like we're going to bid on this work.
Request for proposal.
Yes, or SOQ, statement of qualification. And you put your heart into it and you bid on this work. And then you get the call like, oh, you've been selected. And then it hits you like, oh, what exactly did we win?
We won a whole lot of heartache.
Yeah, you don't know what you're really asking for. So this one kind of falls for me into the nice to have it. It's cool to have this part of Prince history.
Mm-hmm.
Pristory.
Prince Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not necessarily one that I think is like super high level songwriting or wow, this should have had a home somewhere. And actually it did have a home somewhere because it did get released in a couple different ways, but really didn't have a, if it would fit anywhere, I could see it on Emancipation.
Okay.
Like
yes.
The schmaltzy black hole of Prince ballads.
Black hole of schmaltz. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have another song not written by Prince, or at least not wholly written by Prince.
Correct.
Pain was written by D. Chanson Berry for a Rosie Gaines project.
Yep.
Rosie showed it to Prince. He reworked it a little bit.
Yep.
And then the song ended up being recorded by Chaka Khan.
Yes.
And included on an album of songs inspired by the TV show Living Single.
Yep.
In 1997.
Yeah. Cool story. And yeah. Also, I was like, we got to this song, and I'm like, oh, this song's been featured in the Did You Know section of PrinceVault.com's homepage forever. Did you know that Pain is Prince's reworking of a song called Joy and Pain, written by D. Chanson Berry? It's been there for a long, long time. So I'm glad we're finally getting to it, because I keep going to Prince Vault. Great uh-huh. source of information. I keep seeing this there. Man, we're ever going to get there.
Come on. So Chan Berry is not only a songwriter, but a filmmaker.
Okay.
And he has a program on YouTube. It's called The Chan Berry Show. And he starts every show with, "Welcome to The Chan Berry Show. It's a program, not a show, because no one's performing for you. But this is what we call it." So he makes it, is very like particular to make the distinction that program. It's a show if somebody's performing and it's a program if people are just talking.
Interesting.
Yes. But in February of 2024, he released an episode. He's very sporadic about episode release, but he released an interview that he did with Chaka Khan.
Oh.
And she mentions Prince only briefly once that I could find. But they've known each other for a very, very long time. We're friends and had known each other also professionally. And so he sits down and interviews her. And it's
super cool. I had no idea.
Yep.
As usual, you've uncovered more of the truth.
Just because I'm nosy.
Good job.
I poke around.
Good job. There's also a version of the song credited to Prince, Chan Berry, and also Moni Love.
Oh, okay.
According to Prince Vault, there was a rap version and a non-rap version. The rap version is the one that Moni Love was included on.
Okay.
April 1993. Obviously, that's not this version.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It starts out with some very nice guitar. I really like it.
Yeah, very, would you say, brooding?
Sure.
For sure. This is another Prince, Rosie Gaines, Michael Bland, Levi Caesar Jr., and Dr. Fink on keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Performance?
Yes.
Yeah, brooding, synths, cymbals, scratching, you know, kind of the...
We've only gotten vocalizations at the beginning, and I'm like, I already prefer this kind of like love song-ish to what we heard in My Tender Heart.
Sure. Yes, I'm with you there. Also, all of Prince's vocals are panned way to the right.
Yes.
To start with.
Yeah.
How come sometimes we go somewhere together?
Yeah, I was wondering if that was like a choice.
I'm not sure, because when it changes, it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to it. But okay, we'll get there anyway. This is another kind of tenor delivery.
Yes.
By Prince, not falsetto.
Mm-hmm.
Just about the pain of a relationship, right? Love.
Right.
Well, I mean, they sing it together, Prince and Rosie. Loving you only brings me pain.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal, but their voices complement each other so well that it really is enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what I was hoping for on this, is the times when Prince and Rosie do sing together. Cream, Diamonds and Pearls, Get Off Even. They complement each other really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Another spoken word.
There's a spoken word break, but also far less schmaltzy, not the, hey, girl.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's like, again, it's like it's a theme. Is the thing that is happening in many songs here.
Yeah.
I know sometimes the seas may be stormy.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't spell out P-A-I-N, so we'll give them credit for that, I guess.
That's why it didn't end up on Diamonds and Pearls, because there's no spelling.
This was kind of less of this dramatic delivery and almost like Prince talking to himself contemplatively, sort of a whisper also, which I think is a better... I don't know, delivery?
Yes.
Of the spoken words?
But at 2 minutes and 54 seconds, I'm here for this scatting.
Oh, yeah.
It's very fun. It's silly. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
There's this muted, tinkling piano in the background that really complements it well. It's delightful.
Agree. You stole my notes, didn't you? Verse 3 at 3 minutes and 49 seconds when he sings, if I get too close, then I'll get burned. On the word burned is where his vocals go from like strongly, almost only in the right channel, to be equally balanced between left and right.
If I get too close, then I'll get burned. But just close enough and I'll be warm.
I don't think that it's intentional. I think it either is a mistake or, you know, a consequence of whatever condition the song was in when they found it. But it's once you hear it, I'm sorry, you'll never be able to unhear it. I thought that this, as opposed to like, you know, I watch as the leaves turn from green to brown.
Uh-huh.
Here, I think the first part of this verse is very smartly written.
Okay.
I liken our love to a gentle fire. If I get too close, then I'll get burned. It's
okay.
I liken our love to a gentle fire. If I get too close, then I'll get burned.
Beautiful and calming, but you make this one wrong move and you get hurt, which I thought was fairly smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... And I thought you were going to point this out, and maybe you're planning to, but I thought it all kind of burned to the ground with the line, how come you just can't give me what I earn?
Oh.
But just cause nothing, I'll be warm as a little baby. How come you just can't give me what I earn? I don't know.
he's deserving of her love, or he's earned her love, and it goes like against everything that Prince kind of repeats even from the Bible about love as patient and kind and that kind of stuff. You don't get it because you've got enough points on the scoreboard.
Uh-huh, right. That's fair. That's a fair criticism. I was a little less critical of lyrics here because I'm unsure where Prince did changes.
Sure.
And also I liked the song more than
almost anything we've heard before. I don't even like sugarcoat it, but the First Vault disc, it definitely is off to a rough start. So maybe Pain is kind of benefits from its preceding two songs, but I think that Pain is a very strong song.
I do also, too. I think
regardless of that.
Yeah. I agree. But it definitely, the positioning of it after these few things maybe makes it a little shinier than it would be otherwise.
Yeah, I'm like, you call this Pain, I call it relief. Thank you. After getting through the first two tracks. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, and then the outro chorus has these kind of piercing synths. Which I thought was kind of interesting. It always makes me think of Black Sweat and that sort of, you know, that's like the ultimate piercing synth song. Oh,
yeah. A Prince song.
I mean, Prince song that we're going to talk about on this show usually. But so everything that has sort of that same quality in a synth line is going to, fall on the spectrum somewhere of, songs that have no piercing synth to Black Sweat. Where does it fall on that continuum?
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good scale.
This is on there. It's on that quote unquote number line, the music line.
Uh-huh. Agree.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the song. This was circulating before, as was Schoolyard. Actually, Schoolyard has been circulating since, I don't know, around the Diamonds and Pearls era. I think I had a copy of it in like 1992 on a cassette.
Okay.
Wasn't something I revisited much. But yeah. And Pain has been circulating for a long time too. But it's nice to have it in official form.
Yes. It's great. All right. Next up, we have Streetwalker. Rosie Gaines wrote the lyrics, and the music is evidently the same as the jam portion of Baby I'm a Star when it was played on the new tour.
That's what Prince Vault says. So yeah. I went back and I'll give you a copy of the new tour in Tokyo.
Okay.
Baby I'm a Star. The closest thing I could find was from like 3 minutes and 38 seconds to 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
Okay.
I didn't hear that very clearly.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I have ideas about what else I think it sounds like, but we'll get there in a minute.
Okay. I thought it was interesting that this song was recorded on the same day as the last two songs that we heard. They were all recorded, or basic tracks were recorded at the same time. They do sound very different.
Yes.
To Prince's credit.
Yes. And this is believed to be the first time that a Prince song and a Michael Jackson song have shared a title. And both of them were outtakes that were not released close to when they were recorded.
Okay. I didn't know that there was a Michael Jackson song called Streetwalker.
Mm-hmm. It was like a outtake from Bad Era, I think. And the anniversary, whatever outtake it was from, the anniversary of that album is when they put Streetwalker on a like a special edition.
No. Okay.
Yeah. I think that is all the similarities that they have.
Okay.
Is the title. And probably a little bit of the subject material
because of the word itself.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's a common reference to someone who's a prostitute.
Sex workers.
A sex worker.
Correct vernacular now.
No, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay. Sex worker.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, it starts off and you have to like turn it up, but there's these breathy sounds and then the drums fade in.
Yeah.
So like unless you like have imported it into something where you can turn it up and, you know, not blow your eardrums out.
Gotcha.
When
be
the
careful.
Actual music starts.
But it's got like an open hi-hat throughout the whole mm-hmm. song. You know, it's very bass guitar and synths throughout the whole thing. It reminds me a little bit of Trust from the Batman soundtrack.
Okay.
If you listen to the pace, I think it's just the upbeat pace that is kind of relentless. Streetwalker has that in common with Trust.
Okay. I thought it sounded a little like Purple Music from the 1999
era. Oh, very interesting.
It sounded more like Purple Music to mm-hmm. me than an interlude in Baby I'm a Star.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of Let's Work reference at the beginning too. Work it, baby. Work it. This is one of the cases where I think a falsetto Prince is really effective
mm-hmm.
with a fast-paced song, and his falsetto kind of sounds frantic mm-hmm. and urgent
yeah.
and almost like disbelief what he's singing.
Right. Even before we get to the lyrics, there's these organ-type keys
mm-hmm.
that are very 70s funk sound, and I'm like, here's another example of Diamonds and Pearls era stuff being nice. Kind of throwback.
Yeah. It's all over the record and the outtakes
yeah.
actually too. Yeah.
So we get these lyrics and I'm listening and I'm like, oh, I kind of really appreciate this. Sex work is the job that she does. She might get put in jail for it, but I kind of appreciated that it seemed like there was no judgment
yeah.
of her job. And then I spoke too soon because we get the lyrics. You were my best friend in Sunday school.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
Insinuating she should know better.
Yeah.
You went to Sunday school. You know
yep.
you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
We tried to save her, but she breaks the rules. I'm like, okay, we save people from forced situations.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is her 9-to-5, that sounds like this particular field is her choice. We don't have to agree with her choices.
He does say in the song that, you know, just trying to stay alive. So it's like a way to put bread on the table. So I don't know if that's a choice or, you know, a lack because there's no other choice.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But I mean, a lot of people yeah. who work fast food jobs or whatever, they're trying to stay alive. It's a job.
Sure.
You know,
you actually skipped the line in that verse where I thought you were going to have the problem. You were my best friend in Sunday school. How could I know just what you do?
Oh,
almost like he thought, I guess you could read that two ways. He thought so highly of her
uh-huh.
that she was a prim and proper young woman. Or did he see this coming? How could I know just what you do?
Oh.
Like I saw this in you in Sunday school.
Oh.
I don't know which way you want to read it, but
uh-huh.
either way, yeah, makes you think, ooh, okay. Things that make you go, hmm.
Another song where we have kind of a muted, tinkling piano, but it's really, really fast here.
1:49.
Yeah.
Great little piano solo
yeah.
there with more of the work it, baby, work it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Prince sang in Let's Work, but then here, it is her work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do get some really fun vocalizations at 2 minutes and 56 seconds.
Yeah, all falsetto.
Mm-hmm. Here's where I think that, like, this is a chosen profession, because you say you got your business, I got mine. I try to tell you, don't waste your time. You say you got your business, and I got mine. But in the mirror, that sounds like a choice she's made. This is my business.
Yeah.
Get out of it.
Right.
I'm not in yours.
Yeah, that's essentially.
Get out of my business.
That's exactly what she's saying. It's like, it's not, if unless you're a customer,
uh-huh.
Why don't you
buzz off, buddy.
Stay out of it, dude.
That said, I do appreciate that there's an openness to dialogue. Let's talk about it. Can we talk about it?
Do you think he's talking to her or talking to the listener? Can we talk about it? Like, I'm going to tell you my opinion.
Oh, no. I thought he was talking to her. Like, he was willing to be like, okay, I get it. This is your business. Let's talk about it. Like, I appreciate the way I heard it was that he understood, okay, she's chosen this. Let me understand why. Because if she chose it because that's what she wants, I'll have to find a way to get over it. Or if she's chosen it because she feels like she has no other option, I want to hear about that and help her out of it.
Yeah, but then him simplifying it to, there's a single girl from Sunday school crying out to be free. But in the mirror, what do you see? There's a single girl from Sunday school
crying out to be free. Let's talk about it. Yeah, but that sounds like conjecture and him putting something on her.
Yeah.
To me, not necessarily her. I mean, the fictional character.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not. She didn't even have a name.
You're
like
right.
Carrie.
That's right. Yeah. Carrie'd probably been pretty mad if he'd put her name in the song,
too.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not too happy about that either, she would say. Some great screams at the end, too. There's mm-hmm. a nice scream from Prince at 4 minutes and 15 seconds. Some fun keys behind the refrain. From 4 minutes and 18 seconds throughout the end. Some mm-hmm. keyboard playing is really great.
Yes.
As it fades out.
And the final song that we're going to talk about today. Lori Ann.
Without an E.
That's right. Exactly. I guess
even
there's another.
There is a version with an E,
right?
That, recorded later.
Yeah, and it's like the same song but a different version.
Yeah, why not?
And I couldn't find that to listen to. Actually,
no, I don't think that is circulating at all. Was this song, this version of it.
Right.
So this one recorded on September 3rd, 1990.
Okay.
So again, like. Solidly in the Graffiti Bridge era. It's pretty amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love a good do-do-do-do-do-do-do start.
Okay.
You know, there's all these do's.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's very fun.
Oh, man. It's like a road trip jam is what I kind of heard, right?
Uh-huh. There you go. Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Like, it would come on in the car and everybody would sing it.
Oh,
fun.
Yeah. I'm excited about. I love the sound of the song. Love the falsetto callouts at the beginning, but then I immediately am turned off by the. I think it's kind of lazy songwriting on a Monday, not like any other Monday. Okay.
Okay.
On a Monday, not like any other Monday, Lori Ann suddenly came.
Not a fan of the first line,
okay.
I guess I could say. However, then it gets, you know, he describes Lori Ann Well, when she suddenly came, which I think is when she entered the room, but I think Prince phrased it that way for a reason that you can probably guess. You know, the rhythm of her walk, like a tom-tom talking.
I love that particular turn of phrase. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rhythm of her walk, like a tom-tom talking, ain't a boy around.
Verse two is poetic in a rhyming way that's also kind of baffling.
Okay.
You just kind of need to go with it.
Yeah.
So Derek got the deed. That's on the rain check tip, but the friendship slip. And I started with the knowing time. Quiet as it's kept, all her friends met with death quick. Lorianne asked me, honey, what's on your mind?
Derek got the deed. It's on the rain check tip, but the friendship slip. And I started with the knowing time. Quiet as it's kept.
Yeah, in the middle of all this chaos. Yeah, she. I mean, she's just cool, I think, right? Like, all this stuff is going on around her, and there's chaos and all. And
but
she
could
still look at him and, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Okay, so she's interested in him.
And she transcends all that.
Okay, so there's all this bananas stuff happening around, and still she wants to take time to hear how he's doing.
Yes.
Okay, and now I understand it better, and I appreciate it.
I mean, that's a way to interpret it. Even the phrase, quiet as it's kept at 38 seconds. We've heard that later in Prince's career in the phone conversation at the end of Joint to Joint on Emancipation.
Okay.
He uses that phrase, as quiet as it's kept.
I'm serious. No, that's all over now. You know, I front sometimes, but you know, just as quiet as it's kept.
You know, like, as much of a secret as it is, everyone knows.
It does kind of have a sing-song chorus.
Oh, yeah. But it's sing-song in like an old-school kind of, I don't know, bebop rock music kind of way.
Yeah.
That it doesn't bother me.
Okay, good. You know? Sing-songy, it's all right.
Sing-songy song.
Sure. And hey, look, he's not looking for a faded, necessarily forever love.
Okay.
Though we may not be together forever, we can live for the time that we are.
Though we may not be together forever, we can live for the time that we are.
This isn't him pretending to be like your average dude. But he does like to be treated like an average dude. You're
sometimes,
the only one that treats me like I'm human, not like a superstar.
Yeah, there's a little bit of she loves me for me in there, too.
Yes.
You're the only one that treats me like I'm human, not like a superstar.
As the song continues, there's some great ahs in the background. A-A-A-H-S, not O-Z. At a minute and 30 seconds. Then we get some, I don't know, a silly, immature Prince makes another appearance here.
Yeah.
Every now and then she would pet the dolphin.
Every now and then she would pet the dolphin, and I would swear she would touch myself.
I just liked that he made dolphin and then.
Okay.
Rhyme.
Like,
it's silly and stupid and immature.
Yeah.
But he made those two words rhyme, and whatever.
Okay, fair enough. There's a cool breakdown at 2 minutes and 14 seconds, drums and guitars, and ooh, Lorianne.
Yeah.
Right after that, he mentions holy bells ringing in St. Louis Park.
Yes.
Holy bells were ringing in St. Louis Park, 'cause two lucky souls said I do. One of them souls should have been me, Lorianne, and the other one should have been you.
Did you look up St. Louis Park?
I sure did.
Go ahead.
Okay, so even though he didn't think that they would be together forever, he wants to get married.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. But I'm like, this is a terrible proposal.
Okay, yeah.
But St. Louis Park isn't a park.
Right.
It's a suburb of Minneapolis.
Right.
On the west side of Minneapolis. And the word park was added to the town name when it was incorporated so that the railroad wouldn't confuse it with St. Louis, Missouri.
Interesting. I also was like, how far is Paisley Park away from St. Louis Park? Because Paisley Park was built at the time this was being recorded. It's a 16-minute drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paisley Park's further. 16-minute
mile is
slow.
That's in a car.
In a car, that's slow. No, yeah. It's 16 miles, about a 15-minute drive.
Okay.
Further southwest out of town from St. Louis Park.
Okay.
Yeah, so he, like, is saying that we should be doing that, right? He hears the holy bells. One of them should have been you and the other should have been me.
Yeah. I'm like, he didn't want this faded love. We might not be together forever.
Right.
But then he's like, maybe we should get married. That's a terrible proposal in this song.
But do you think that's part, like, he's writing the song and they're like in love, whatever happens is great, we're having a good time. And then looking back, one of them should have been you and the other should have been me because I didn't realize how good we were together sort of.
In the chorus right before this part, there are a ton of vocal layers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the right channel, there's one that's kind of really nasal and a little low.
Oh, yeah.
That really captured my attention. I really appreciated it. I wanted to make sure that I pointed it out because it's delightful.
That's the great part about all of Prince's vocal layering is just like one of those tracks probably sounds weird and out of place on its own, but all together into one woven fabric, it becomes, because you would think that it's a whole bunch of different takes of him singing the same way that create this chorus. And usually it's mids and highs and other like interesting takes on it that make that happen.
Agreed.
And I definitely heard that in the song too.
Yeah. All right. So back to the terrible proposal.
Okay.
Then we realize, as you said, you know, earlier in the relationship, whatever happens, we're going to be together for as long as it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if that's not forever.
Yep.
And then, oh, we should get married. And then, oh, then you learn that they broke up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his buddies are telling her, hey, we saw her. Uh-huh. Evidently, breaking up was a good thing for her.
Right.
Last I heard, you were looking twice as fine. At the end of the day, we said goodbye. Last I heard, you were looking twice as fine. Twice as fine as you did on the day that we said goodbye. She is looking good. Breaking up with him suits her, and he is sad about it.
Yep. He missed the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I love the little aside that he says. Must have been a man who was never in love that said men aren't supposed to cry. Must have been a man who was never in love that said that men aren't supposed to cry. It's like you could only know his pain if you've loved someone like that and lost. There's a falsetto high end that's added to Prince's vocals in the chorus at 3:26. That's part of what I was trying to say about the multi-layered vocals. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little hit, a little extra punch on the falsetto on the final chorus here.
Great. And then there's this kind of like a drawn out ending, but it's still a proper end.
Oh, very
much.
I
really appreciated it. Yeah.
And even the little guitar hit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what gave me the feeling of like a 1950s rock.
Okay.
Rock and roll, like, 1950s rock and roll.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Christy, that's it. I mean, despite the advice of our closest advisors, we're not making selections today. Instead, we'll finish out Vault Disc 1 next time, and we will issue judgments at that time.
That's right.
Even though I feel like we had some strong words in this episode.
I'm just thinking that the back half of this album has some work to do to find anything that's going to compete for the C. To what I've listened to thus far.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the back half of this disc. You
yes.
Mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially since we are omitting Glam Slam 91 because we covered it way up front.
Yes.
When we were talking about the chronological reveal of Diamonds and Pearls. So we're covering 6 of the final 7 songs, not including Glam Slam 91. And 4 of the 6... are alternate recordings of album tracks, too. So there's a song called Dark Side. There's an early mix of Insatiable that was on the album, an early version of Live for Love that was on the album, an alternate take of Cream that was on the album, and then Skip to My You, My Darling, and Diamonds and Pearls, a long version. It's labeled. We'll delve into that next time.
Awesome. Awesome. So once again, thank you for listening. We know you make a choice. Tell a friend. And until next time, happy purple listening.
Thanks for sticking with us.